official Bible, if you like. The rest of the readings this morning are going to be taken from this book, which is the Jesus Storybook Bible. So if it feels like it's not the verses you remember, it's because it's from this child-friendly book. Whether you've got children or not, put it on your Christmas list, because it is a fantastic translation. Okay, so I'm going to read from Isaiah 9, and then I'm going to pick out four things for us to look out for during the next hour. So this was written about 700 years before Jesus came to earth. So verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And from verse 6 it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So four things we want to look out for during this morning. First of all, light and darkness. We're going to sing about light. We've got lights around. You'll know that light is a symbol of Christmas, and we have lights around at Christmas. Why is this? That verse at the start said that God's Christmas story is about God bringing hope and light into darkness. So watch out for light and darkness. Secondly, it says, "For unto us a child is born." And a big theme of this morning, and actually a big theme of our church at York Elam, if you look around, is children. We absolutely love children, and children are going to be a big part of our morning. It's amazing that God chose that hope into the world. He chose a baby. And it's a reminder to us that whilst the children will be performing for us in the Nativity, children have also got a massive load to teach us. So as well as it being entertaining, there will be some things for the adults that the children will be teaching us about life that we might not have realised. And it also reminds me to say that if you've got kids, if you've got kids this morning and you're worried about them running around making noise, do not worry, because they're part of our service. So that's number two, children. The second thing is worship. It says Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Everyone that came to see the baby Jesus fell on their knees and worshipped. So Sam and the band are going to be leading us in worship. Whilst we'll be singing familiar carols, it's an opportunity to worship our Most High God. And the fourth thing is the theme of invitation. So our morning this morning is called Come and Meet the King. And the children and Paul will be teaching us about the invitation that God makes to us. So the four things: light and darkness, children, worship, and invitation. And hopefully all those things will come through this morning. I hope you all enjoy it. It's going to be fun. I'm going to hand over to Debbie, who's going to bring our first reading.
He's here, from Luke chapter 1 to 2. Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people, just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down. Seas would have roared. Trees would have clapped their hands. But the earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. And when no one was looking, in the darkness, he came. The angel Gabriel appeared to a young girl named Mary. "Mary, you're going to have a baby, a little boy. You will call him Jesus. He is God's own son. He's the one, the rescuer." "Wait. God was sending a baby to rescue the world." "But it's too wonderful," Mary said with her heart beating hard. "Is anything too wonderful for God?" the angel Gabriel said. So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see, and she believed.
The light of the whole world. Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. There, in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of night, God gave the world his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, God's baby son. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us, because of course he had. That same night, in amongst the other stars, suddenly a bright new star appeared. God put it there to be like a spotlight, shining on the baby Jesus, showing people the way to him. You see, God was like a new dad. He couldn't keep the good news to himself.
Sing his happy song to the world. He's here. He's come. Go and see him, my little boy. Now, where would you send a splendid choir? To a big concert hall, maybe, or a palace, perhaps? God sent his to a little hillside outside a little town in the middle of the night. He sent all those angels to sing for a raggedy old bunch of shepherds watching their sheep outside Bethlehem. You see, in those days, people thought shepherds were nobodies, just scruffy old riffraff. But God must have thought shepherds were very important indeed. They were out in the open, warming themselves by a fire. Their sheep darted. They were frightened by something. Standing in front of them was a huge warrior of light, blazing in the darkness. I haven't come to hurt you. I've come to bring you happy news for everyone, everywhere. God's son has been born. You can go and see him. The shepherds quickly left for Bethlehem, where they caught their breath, tiptoed inside, and knelt on the dirty floor. They had heard about this promised child, and now here he was, a light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness, helping people to see. And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine.
Good morning. We're going to have our chance for the kids to do their nativity for you now. The beautiful chaos that is about to go on stage, is they've worked really hard on it, and it's all come from them. We've got a little PowerPoint that we'll start in a second and just explain some of that to you. But please give them your biggest smiles and your biggest encouragement so that they do their absolute best. Thank you. Of money with pride. Children were snuggled or safe in their beds, while visions of presents danced through their heads. None of them knew something big was going on, something for them, a new king being born. Mary was pregnant and Joseph trying his best, looking for somewhere for coffee and rest. But that wasn't to be, as God had big ideas. Their baby was coming now, no matter their fears. No hotels free, no one had space. They found a small corner, not the ideal place. A long, lonely night, no one to make a fuss. Emmanuel was born. God is with us. Ready to move on to a safe home. But someone was coming, yet no one had phoned. Who was invited and who had God shown that Jesus was here to be loved and to be known? Was it a midwife, a nurse, or a vicar? Was it a queen or somebody similar? It wasn't at all, and it wasn't just one. A whole gang invited to meet God's precious son. In came the angels. Of course they turned up. But then came the partygoers raising their cups. The grandmas came in and found a good seat. The students arrived hoping for something to eat. The queen did turn up. She was wearing her crown. And the refugees followed. They were new to this town. Mums were invited and dads were too. In came the doctor. He could barely squeeze through. Some children turned up with their friends from school, and some Power Rangers came in after having a duel. Pets were invited, dogs, cats and mice. Sam Minton was there, he didn't have to be asked twice. The celebration changed everything and people felt peace. Their fears were stilled and their striving ceased. Everyone all in one place to see God. The thought that it's only for some seemed quite odd. The people left joyfully, finding friends just to say, "Come and meet the King, I'll show you the way."
Sometimes life is not all it can be.
I grew up in a housing estate in Glasgow, and it was a year of the City of Culture, and my dad, who I didn't live with, he had just got a new council house on this estate, and he and his best friend actually had houses right next to each other. But because it was a year of culture, the Queen was coming to Glasgow. And Albert, my dad's friend, got a letter saying that the Queen was coming to tea. Okay, then, because it was a new housing estate. He was the first person into this estate, and it was the City of Culture. Now, Albert was told not to tell anybody. Okay, then. In a housing estate in Glasgow, okay then, and Albert wasn't known for keeping a secret, okay then. So it was only within a few short days did everybody know that the Queen was coming. So the Queen was supposed to slip in, few reporters, few photographs, not again. When she got there, there was about 400 people outside Albert's house waiting to see the Queen. And I remember Albert used to come round, and he was literally, he would be shaking. He was like, what am I going to give the Queen? You know, and he had not, you know, sandwiches, the best china. What do you do if the Queen comes to your house for tea? I just want to read to you a verse of scripture. In many ways, our readings have touched on that this morning. After Jesus... After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born to be king? The king of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Jesus was born to be king. Herod, who was the actual king of the day, obviously was not too enamored about the thought of another king that he wasn't familiar with possibly coming to usurp his throne. And so Herod decided not to play fair in that whole scene. And most of us will know the outcome of that, that many children really suffered as a result of Herod's jealousy. But where is the one who was born to be king? And I just want to talk, our theme this morning is Meet the King. And I just want to talk a little bit of what it means to meet the king. These three magi came from the east in order that they could have a meeting with the king. The king was only a few hours old, and possibly a few months old. And to come in, and this child who had just been born, they bowed down and they worshipped and they presented him gifts. Of course, we have to step back a little bit in time. Because what we learn from the overview of the Bible is that Jesus didn't just become king, but he always was king. He had been king of all creation from the beginning of time and beyond that. In fact, something quite remarkable about this king that we're going to talk about this morning is that even though he was a king, we're told in another bit of the Bible that he abdicated his throne. He gave up his king. The words that the Bible uses is that he laid aside his majesty. We had a king in our country, King Edward VIII. And Edward VIII became king in 1936. Edward VIII had a problem. Edward VIII was in love with Wallis Simpson. And Wallis Simpson was a divorcee. Her background was just a little bit messy politically. And it wasn't sitting well with those in high office that the king was married to a divorcee. But because of King Edward's love for the love of his life, he abdicated his throne and he gave up all which was entailed of being a king. And it's an amazing analogy. Because of Jesus' love for us, he gave up his kingship and he came. And the Bible says, King Edward eventually became the Prince of Wales, or perhaps he was, but he took on a lower role, a lower title. But the Bible says about Jesus that he became a servant, not just one with a lesser title, but he became a man just like you and me. In fact, to the extent that he was even prepared to give up his physical life. Why did he do that? Well, just like Edward VIII, it was for the love of his life. He loved you and I, and he was prepared in order to step out of his kingship and take a much more lowly office. We're going to jump forward now about 33 years. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. It would have had much more effect if Jesus had come in a white horse, a royal horse, and rode into town, because the people then were feeling oppressed and they were under the rule of the Roman Empire and they were looking for a deliverer, a victor. But Jesus came in a lowly donkey and they rode in. But the people were still ecstatic about this humble carpenter coming in a donkey, but they saw in Jesus someone who had unique and special powers. And so when they heard that Jesus was coming, they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Do you remember when Jesus was crucified? Pilate put above the cross, "Jesus, the King of the Jews." And so even though people recognized Jesus' kingly office, we have to remember how much Jesus gave up in order to come. And so our theme this morning is meet the King. But the truth of the matter is it was Jesus who came to meet with us. He didn't just come halfway. He came all the way to our doorstep and he knocked on the door. And Jesus has an invitation for us today. "I stand at the door and knock, and whoever opens the door, I will come in and I will live with him." For all of those children who are hoping this year perhaps to get a puppy for their Christmas, can I just take a little line and just turn it on his head and say that Jesus is not just for Christmas, but Jesus is for life. And many people, they take the opportunity to think about the importance of Jesus and why Jesus came into the world. But it's not just for Christmas. Jesus came to change our lives. And the people in Jesus' day, not only when Jesus was born and not only when Jesus came into Jerusalem, but their lives were just a mess. Society was in just complete topsy-turvy. Our society in the last few years has been through an amazing amount of upheaval. And people have been looking for a leader who will get them out of that. That's not a political statement. It merely has impacted how we've addressed this particular election. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he didn't come as a political leader. He came as the savior of the world. And he didn't just come for one particular country or one particular political manifesto, but he came in order that the whole world can come and to be in communion with him, not only now, but forever and ever. So what we would like to say to you today through song and through this short message and through the children's nativity is that we would love to give you an invitation to come and to get to know the King. And for those who have encountered him, I'm sure all of them would be able to stand up here today and say that that experience has been a life-changing experience. Thank you so much for coming this morning. We just want to make sure that you have an amazing time over this Christmas period, and we all wish you a very Merry Christmas.